using mediation to settle all kinds of disputes. Maine was an early pioneer in offering mediation as an alternative to litigation. Mediation has been provided through the court system in Maine since 1978. Today, there are thousands of mediation cases every year, aiming to resolve all kinds of disputes, from land issues to small claims, high conflict family disputes, evictions, divorce, and more. But mediators say there are many more cases that could benefit from mediation than are in the system. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn more about mediation in Maine. How does it work? How do you know if your dispute would be best settled by mediation? How do you qualify to be a mediator? Maine Calling is next. But first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. When disputes arise between individuals, maybe over financial matters, land use, evictions, or a lot of things, a first thought might be to get lawyers and head to court. But there is an alternative to this, mediation. Maine has been at the forefront of mediation as a means of dispute resolution, and today we're going to learn more about how it works. In the studio with me, Elaine Bourne. She is Community Mediation Services Program Manager with the Volunteers of America. Karen Grote is Director of Family Mediation at Opportunity Alliance. Diane Kenty is Director of the Office of Court Alternative Dispute Resolution. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you ever thought about mediation? Have you participated? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you all for being here today. And I'm going to start by asking each of you how you got involved in mediation, because I have a feeling there's a story for each of you. And Elaine, I'm going to start with you. How long have you been involved in, and do you, how did you first get interested in this?
I have been a mediator since 2011. I'm one of those former lawyers who practiced for a while and then had a whole other life. I decided to relocate back to Maine and became aware of mediation and took a training and said, wow, this is really what law should have always been about. I loved it. I loved the fact that people were sitting down and really having conversations and getting to the meat of the matter. And I began volunteering with the program that I now oversee, and I have been with Volunteers of America since 2012.
It's interesting to me that you say you're a former attorney, because some people do both, right? They have a law practice and they also have a mediation practice. And
yes.
Yeah. So what about you, Diane? How did you get involved?
Well, I was also a practicing attorney in a large law firm in a different state, and I was fortunate that a couple of senior attorneys in that law firm were mediators in court cases. And so they encouraged me to get training as a mediator, and so I was still practicing law, and I started mediating as a volunteer in a community mediation program. Then I began to mediate court cases for pay. And I liked it so much that I wanted to be full-time in the mediation field. So I also relocated to Maine, and the court system at that time was looking for somebody to manage the court-connected mediation program. So I applied for that job and got it, and so I've been working as an employee in the court. So I do a little bit of mediation and a lot of overseeing mediation in the courts now.
And that was 20 years ago, right?
It was, yeah. I first took mediation training in 1991.
Wow. So Maine is a mediation magnet, it sounds like. And what about you, Karen?
It was a magnet for me as well. I was at a transition in my life. Prior to coming to Maine, I had been doing research mostly in the area of psychology and neuroscience. And so when I got here, they really didn't have the same kind of research going on. And it was at a point after having children, I wanted to go back to work and started to explore options. And I did take the mediation course at USM, and I absolutely fell in love with mediation and the model. Particularly the transformative model spoke to me in terms of what my understanding was in the work that I was doing with both with primates as well as with kids with diagnosis of autism and infants and all sorts of interesting work. So I think I have been doing that in a very dedicated way ever since. So it's been about 17 years since I've been mediating and been with the Organization of Opportunity Alliance and their mediation program.
So you've been doing both at the same time, doing work in neuroscience and work in mediation?
Well, the neuroscience work was done when I was living in Pennsylvania and
I see.
Yeah, before I came to Maine. So I would say I see it really coming into, I guess, the community now. It's becoming more and more part of the work we do in social services, is getting some awareness and what's happening with the brain and with our body.
Okay, so Elaine, I'm going to ask you, define mediation for us. I understand that it's a subset of something larger that's considered alternative dispute resolution, but mediation is its own thing.
Mediation is its own thing, and I define mediation as individuals sitting down and having a facilitated conversation with a neutral third party in the room. And hopefully they'll reach an agreement. But it is, if you're looking at alternative dispute resolution, it is the last, I'm going to say, rung of a ladder where, or of a spectrum where the decisions that are reached are fully in the hands of the individuals involved. My role as a mediator is not to say to people, here's what I think you should do to resolve this. We help facilitate that conversation. We help build a safe container for people to be able to have the conversation that they really want to be having. But all sorts of other stuff is getting in the way. So I don't know, maybe we're like whisperers or something of, okay, here's really what you're saying. But we help them have those conversations and hopefully come to a resolution that's theirs.
So there's not a signed document at the end.
There can be, but there doesn't have to be. I'm going to actually also say, though, in the court system, that's handled differently.
Okay,
usually.
So maybe I should back up here and say there are different forms of mediation, and some are within the court system, and I'll have you explain those, Diane, and some are not. Some are people coming voluntarily, hiring a mediator, sitting down, and having a mediator help them come to a resolution. So, Diane, why don't you tell us about within the court system, the main court system, how is mediation used?
Well, mediation is used in a lot of different types of court cases, and people can initiate it on their own, or they might be ordered by a judge or family law magistrate to participate in mediation. And essentially, as Elaine said, this is sitting down with a third party neutral to discuss the issues that brought you to court, to try to explore some options for solving the dispute, and seeing if you can reach agreement. And the, of course, important aspect is the mediator doesn't decide the outcome. The parties decide the outcome. So they control what's going to happen in their case if they reach agreement. And there's still a lot of confusion between mediation and arbitration. So an arbitrator is somebody who does decide the outcome, but a mediator helps the parties see if they can reach agreement. And if they can, in court cases, the mediator writes the agreement, and we have forms for this, of course. We're the court system, so we have forms, and the mediators can write the agreement, and the parties sign it right there.
How many cases are there?
Well, in generally speaking, in any given year, I think there are approximately 6,000 to 7,000 cases mediated. So these are cases of all different types. You mentioned them at the beginning: family cases, small claims, which are small civil actions, evictions and foreclosures, and general civil cases that might be, have to do with contracts or real estate matters or personal injury. So a lot of different types of cases are mediated.
Do you think there's capacity to do even more, or that even more could qualify or could benefit from mediation that aren't being mediated right now?
Yes, people have suggested other types of cases from time to time, and we've done some pilot projects in other types of cases. And as you mentioned, we have a 40-year history of mediation in the Maine courts, and so it's been expanding over the last few decades. So who knows where we might go in the future.
Karen, did you mention that you've done community mediation?
Yeah, the program that that we have is a family and community mediation
what
service.
What does that mean, community mediation?
The most important part of community mediation is that it is served by volunteer mediators. And so, and it's something that has a very low barrier and often free. In our case, it's a free service open to the community. And I think the focus oftentimes is to be able to build the community's capacity to manage conflict and find a place that they could come and make decisions that will better support themselves, their neighbors. In this case, we do a lot of work with families, so their own family and a conflict that impacts children. So,
give us some examples of some kinds of cases Opportunity Alliance has done.
Oh, there's so many, such a variety. We essentially focus on conflict that impacts kids. So it could be anything from co-parenting or caregiver, multi-generational sorts of circumstances with grandparents and other family members. We have may sometimes get called by the schools. For example, after the election in one classroom, there was some really sensitive challenges that came up in some discussions, and we were able to have some community mediators come over and work with the kids and the teachers. We have also things that require quick response. You know, sometimes there's crises or family transitions that happened. You know, an example would be a parent who unexpectedly passed away, and the family really has to make some decisions around, especially we work a lot when the parents are not living together. So it could be as a result of a divorce or that they've never resided together, and that people can be living out of state. And so they're trying to navigate those things.
We're talking about mediation on Maine Calling. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions, our phone number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. I know all three of you are really true believers in mediation. So, Elaine, give me the sell. Why is mediation a great choice? What are the benefits? Why would someone choose mediation?
I think the biggest benefit for mediation, as I said before, is that the resolution resides in your hands. So you've got the individuals who are involved, they've got the power to decide what's going to happen and how to move forward. And it is a voluntary process. It's a confidential process, but it's also a very flexible process. Typically, if you were to call, the program that I oversee, the Community Mediation Services Program at Volunteers of America, or even, you know, Karen's program or others, you can typically get something set up within 5 to 7 business days. Sometimes because of a particular time sensitivity, sometimes it's less, we can do it even more quickly than that. But it saves money. So it's the time involved. If you are involved in litigation, there is the mediation is typically at a lower cost. As I said, it resides in your hands how it's going to get resolved. And a lot of times all that people need is to feel that they have been heard and to get a greater understanding of what everybody's feeling and what everyone's needs really are. And sometimes people craft some really interesting agreements for how to be able to move forward.
Well, I wanted to ask you all that. I mean, do you ever at the end of a session or what do you call it? After a session, do you think, wow, that was not what I would have done?
Well, it's really not up to you as the mediator to make the decisions. Of course, part of the beauty is that the parties can make their own decisions. And sometimes they're not the same decisions you would make. But for instance, in a family case, they know their family the best, and they know what would work for them and for their kids. And so they can design a parenting plan. In a court case, that type of agreement would have to be reviewed by a judge or a family law magistrate to make sure that it meets the requirements of law. But there is a lot of flexibility, and they can, in many ways, decide the outcome of their case and make a parenting plan for the future.
If someone's listening to this program right now and maybe is facing a dispute and thinks mediation, wow, this sounds interesting, I might try this route, how do you find a mediator? How do you know to find the right kind of person for the dispute that you have?
Well, I would recommend that people check in with the Maine Association for Mediators. I think their website is mainemediators.org, I think is what it is. They have a directory of mediators, and you can search it by subject area and also name. So that's one place that I would go. You also could contact an organization such as mine or Karen's. We're both community mediation services. The Volunteers of America program provides services statewide. Karen's program is?
It's York, Cumberland, and Midcoast. So we recently expanded into Midcoast to work with families and children.
But you could contact us. We could begin to find out more about what the issues might be, and in speaking with you, help you decide whether mediation is right for you or not.
Are there any kind of cases that you feel as though mediation is especially effective?
Well, we do the most mediation in the court system in family-related mm-hmm. cases. And it's often said that mediation works well in cases where the parties will have an ongoing relationship. But that's not always the case. Sometimes parties who never met each other and might never see each other again can also mediate quite productively. For instance, two people who happen to have a car accident at the corner of Congress Street and Franklin Street might benefit from using a mediator to help sort out how to handle the payment of damages, even though they don't intend to have an ongoing relationship in the future.
Interesting. Would that have the case you just gave there, the car accident, would that happen through the courts? Would it be ordered by the courts?
If they have a court case, they might be ordered to participate, or there are certain rules and procedures that govern this in court cases. And we have statewide rosters of mediators in every county. So we have a lot of mediators in many types of cases who are independent contractors to the court system. But there are a lot of mediators in the private sector, some of whom do practice law, as you mentioned earlier. And so it's possible to Google or look in the Yellow Pages or find a mediator who has a private office for mediation, too.
We are talking about mediation in Maine. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Bay Chamber Concerts, committed to enriching communities with high-quality musical performances in Midcoast Maine. Learn more at baychamberconcerts.org. And Freemasons in Maine, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
Hey, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR's Morning Edition, reminding you that Maine Public Radio is the kind of radio that makes a difference every day. You get news and information from Morning Edition and All Things Considered. You get insights on Radio Lab. Get a little banter from that Peter Sagal guy on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You get unexpected lessons from This American Life. And, of course, the local focus of Maine Things Considered. Every time you listen, you know that quality programs are going to take you on journeys. This is Steve Inskeep asking you to contribute to Maine Public Radio to make sure that radio you value and count on continues to enrich this community with its rewards. Call or go to mainepublic.org today, and your donation counts toward the upcoming Super Thursday one-day pledge drive. Thanks.
Super Thursday is coming up August 10th, but you can contribute right now at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800 866-1475. And thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. Today on the program, we're talking about mediation. Joining me in our studio, Karen Grote, the Director of Family Mediation at Opportunity Alliance. Diane Kenty is the Director of the Office of Court Alternative Dispute Resolution. And Elaine Bourne is the Program Manager of Community Mediation Services with the Volunteers of America. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And joining us now is Rebecca Smith. She's the principal attorney at Seven Tree Solutions, is also a mediator and vice president of the Maine Association of Mediators. Rebecca, do I have that right? That's what it said on the website. Oh, shoot. We lost her, but it looks like we may be getting her back. So here we go. Rebecca, are you there now?
I am.
Oh, terrific.
Thanks.
And Rebecca, are you currently vice president of the Maine Association of Mediators?
I am. That's correct.
Okay. I understand you work with the Maine Human Rights Commission. Tell me about the mediation work that goes on there.
Sure. The Maine Human Rights Commission has a very strong mediation program that they make available to many of the cases that are filed there at the commission. They have a roster of six experienced mediators, and we all help on cases that have been filed at the commission, mostly cases where folks are alleging that some form of discrimination has occurred that's a violation of the Maine Human Rights Act.
I read on your website that you specialize in high-stakes emotional cases. Why is mediation a good choice for these?
Well, I think as your guests have talked about already, mediation does allow both an avenue of dispute resolution that can help bring a case to conclusion, along with the opportunity to explain and share the emotions that go around that dispute and to allow the parties to hear each other and to hear things that they might not have understood when they were in a strictly adversarial position. And so a lot of times having that opportunity to tell your story and to have it be heard by the person that you're in conflict with, even if at the end of the day you don't agree with everything that they've said, we don't expect that to happen at mediation, but to just get a better understanding of their perspective and to know that they've heard your perspective can help people find a way to a resolution that works for them. And that they mutually agree that they can live with and abide by.
Well, Rebecca, thanks for calling in. Rebecca Smith is the Vice President of the Maine Association of Mediators. And I should note that your webpage does have a list of mediators around Maine. We've already linked that on our Facebook page. So thanks for calling in, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
And so before the break, we were talking about different ways to use mediation. And I saw that you were about to jump in, Karen, but we had to go to a break. So why don't you follow up on that?
Oh, thank you. I encourage any listeners who happen to be volunteer mediators to call in with their stories, too. I encourage mediation as an option for almost anyone, given there's all sorts of ways that you can utilize trained mediators. So you could be just at a place where you need to make some decisions and there's lots of voices in the room. It could be that you have, oftentimes in divorce, you go into court and you have a settlement agreement, but that doesn't necessarily carry you through the life transitions that you have with your children over time. So accessing mediation, even for things that wouldn't be court-related matters, but just how do you get support in those decisions and conversations, and that could also include children or young adults participating. I think that you can work with sports groups or faith communities, towns. I think that there's really no limit in terms of how we can support people so they can learn to hear each other, learn to see what could serve the greater good, so to speak.
I'm going to, I thought I was going to go to a call. It's not quite ready. Diane, are there times when mediation might not be the right choice?
Well, I think it is important to keep in mind that mediation is not right for every case, and some cases will need a trial, and we have excellent judges in Maine who are ready, able, and willing to hold trials. And I think that's often true if people need a legal decision or they're trying to establish a new precedent in the law. They would want a trial or they would want a judge to decide the case. And also, if there's been violence or there's some other type of imbalance of power, then mediation might not be appropriate because it would be impossible for people to speak their minds freely and make decisions of their own free will.
We'll go to Kathy, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I think one point I wanted to make was what was just made about the power differential, that there are clearly times when if there's a power differential between the two parties, that that would not be appropriate for mediation because the mediator does not know all the story behind it. So it oftentimes, something like sometimes in a divorce, oftentimes with domestic violence, it would not be appropriate. I'm coming from this with probably 15 years of mediation, currently retired. The other thing that I wanted to mention was when we were talking about benefits, to me, the de-escalation, not only of the issue, but also of feelings, can happen through mediation. That's one of the huge benefits. It can calm things down to get people to the point where it could actually save a relationship, or particularly where you've got neighbors who have to live next door to each other, or you've got parents who have to, even divorced, have to be being parents to children for the rest of their lives. So there's two things that I just wanted to mention.
Kathy, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just say, I mean, definitely sometimes with a power differential, mediation may not be appropriate. But I think it's important for listeners to be aware, though, that there may be ways that we can work with individuals. A lot of times people will say, I don't want to be in the same room with somebody else because the tension is so high. There are ways that mediators can work with each of the parties separately. We call it caucusing. Sometimes it's private meetings with parties to learn more about what's happening or maybe more of the backstory, because people may not feel comfortable sharing something in the larger group, but they think it's important to share that the mediator know, and those are confidential. Also, sometimes we can do what's called shuttle diplomacy, where it's the mediators who are going from room to room between the parties. So I just think it's important for listeners to know that sometimes there can be different ways that we can work with what's happening.
Kathy, thanks so much for calling in. We'll move on to Jesse calling from Lincolnville. Hi, Jesse. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question. I'm finding this conversation really interesting. I'm a pediatrician, and I have a clinic that serves about 90% of, the patients are Medicaid patients. And I'm thinking that a lot of my patients and families could benefit from mediation services with regards to co-parenting and family issues. And I'm just wondering what the cost of these services are, because a lot of the families I work with don't have a lot of money to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, thank you. This is Karen, and I just wanted to say that we provide mediation through grants from United Way, both in York, Cumberland, and the Mid-Coast area, I think Lincolnville, and it's a free service because of the...
How far up into the Mid-Coast? Because Lincolnville, is it Bath and Brunswick or beyond into Camden, Rockland, Lincolnville?
Yeah, and that's a recent expansion, and also the Women's Giving Tree was another... grant funder for this. So really understand, and children's health is directly connected to parents' health as well. So that's a primary focus of the work we do.
And this is Elaine. The Community Mediation Services Program at Volunteers of America does provide services statewide. And we have a one-time administrative fee of $50 that we waive if there's certain income if people are at a certain income level, or we have a grant that can cover it.
All right. So Jesse recommending that you contact either or both, Opportunity Alliance or Volunteers of America. Diane?
In the court system, people would have mediation if they have a court case. So that assumes that people would have already filed a court case. But we do provide mediation regardless of the ability to pay. So there are financial screeners who determine financial eligibility for a discounted fee or a fee waiver.
All right. And I will put links to both of your organizations on our Maine Calling Facebook page. Jesse, thanks so much for your call. Both of you do training of mediators, both you, Karen, and you, Elaine.
And
oh, all three
Diane.
Of you do training. I didn't know that. That's exciting. Who makes a good mediator? Who should, if you're listening right now and thinking, boy, this sounds interesting, how do you assess yourself to know that you'd be a good fit?
Well, I think good interpersonal skills are very important. So you have to be good with people and be a good listener, be somebody who can be patient. And I think it's important to have good analytical skills at the same time to be able to analyze the issues and also diagnose the barriers to communication or barriers to agreement that people are experiencing. And I think it helps to have mental flexibility and be creative and be able to improvise and adapt to what you're hearing and to what people are telling you.
It's interesting to me that many people who are mediators are attorneys as well, but not all.
Mm-mm. I think adding to that would be the ability to self-reflect and to check in with what your own biases are and seeing how you are responding to the things outside. How do you deal with conflict yourself? And there are lots of mediators out there who are interested in the practice, who have backgrounds in psychology, counseling, education, artists, I mean, really all walks. And I guess it's also a practice. So it's something. So I think some people are drawn to it like a calling. And well, that's what I find in the training, that people are very passionate about when they come to it. And then and people change over time as a result of practicing it, just like you would with meditation or yoga or something like that. It's a kind of presence.
Interesting. We have an email from Catherine. Are mediation and arbitration the same thing? If not, what's the difference? Are both legally binding? Are lawyers involved in mediation? Good question, especially because arbitration is somewhat controversial right now. We're talking about something else, right, Elaine?
Correct. Mediation is not arbitration. In arbitration, each of the parties is presenting their side of things, and the arbitrator is determining what is going to be the way to handle what the outcome is going to be. With mediation, the mediator is not deciding what is happening. The mediator typically is not even offering possibilities of how you might resolve it. It truly is the individuals involved having the conversation. We're guiding you. We are asking questions. We may be using we may be restating things that people are saying. We may be pointing out areas where there's agreement already, but it's all within your hands. So the decision's with you. Arbitration, it's with somebody else. And with mediation, it's possible that your mediator may have a legal background, such as myself, Diane, on my roster of attorneys, or I'm sorry, my roster of mediators. I do have attorneys, but I also have people who are social service workers, psychologists. We have a grant through the USDA to do agricultural mediation within the state. So I have farmers on my roster.
So tell me about agricultural mediation. I'm curious. What does that entail?
Well, agricultural mediation involves a wide range of issues. It's a lot of credit-related issues. With the grant underneath the USDA in a number of matters, if you get an adverse decision from the USDA, you have mediation as an option in addition to appealing the decision. And that could be on an application that you've submitted and you
think the outcome should have been different. But it also can be issues about property lines. It could be someone moves into a new house that's right next door to a farm, and you know, there's different things that happen on farms that your neighbors may or may not want to see happen. So they may want to have discussions about, you know, do you really need to be, you know, spreading manure at, you know, such and such a time or something like that. But it's a wide range of issues. We're also doing a lot in that area with farm succession planning. A lot of farms in the state are in transition, and so we're doing a lot of work with the families on trying to figure out.
And part of that question is whether mediation is legally binding.
It's a yes and a no.
It depends.
It can be, yes. Depending on the way that it's set up or the context in which it happens.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for that question. We do have to take another quick break. If you'd like to call and ask a question of your own, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does MDI Hospital, proud to have served their community as an independent hospital for more than a century. MDIHospital.org. This September, Maine Public will be airing The Vietnam War, the new Ken Burns 18-hour documentary. We're planning a series of partial pre-screenings across Maine, and we're also looking for Vietnam veterans or anyone who was affected by the conflict who's willing to share their own story on how the war affected them. We'll archive these submissions on our website, and a few will be recorded for broadcast. If you're interested or know someone who is, please send your testimonials and stories to mystory@mainpublic.org. That's mystory@mainpublic.org, and thank you. Coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, we'll have a BBC special, 67, The Summer of Love, If You're Going to San Francisco. That's a BBC special program coming up at 2 o'clock today, right here on the stations of Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, mediation. Here with me, Elaine Bourne with the Community Mediation Services at Volunteers of America, Karen Grote, Director of Family Mediation at Opportunity Alliance, and Diane Kenty, Director at the Office of Court Alternative Dispute Resolution. That's a long title. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Phil calling from South Portland. Hi, Phil. Go ahead.
Love your show. I would like to invite all of your listeners who are engaged in the practice of mediation, arbitration, or other forms of alternative dispute resolution to submit something to the blog of the Maine Association of Mediators, of which I am the editor. It can be one of your experiences in alternative dispute resolution, your thoughts or observations. Please don't hesitate. Don't be shy. We welcome all submissions.
Thanks, Phil. That's and I invite you to put a link to that on the Maine Calling Facebook page. Did you hear me? Okay, great. We have an email from Catherine. Mediation is great. When my first husband and I were working through our divorce in 1995, we didn't want to fight. We wanted to navigate our situation in a way that would have the least negative impact on our two daughters and allow us to go forward in a way that supported our goal to co-parent constructively. We chose to forego individual lawyers and used a mediator in Rockland who helped us work through that process. It was the best decision for our girls and, in the end, for us, too. Go ahead, Diane.
I'm happy to hear that mediation was helpful, and I think it often is very helpful in divorce cases. And at the same time, I would still encourage people to consult lawyers so they make sure they know what their legal rights are. So in Maine, we're fortunate that we have the opportunity for people to get what's called unbundled legal services. So you could either hire a lawyer for your case, or you could just go consult with a lawyer about your rights and hire the lawyer for part of the case if you wanted. So that makes getting legal advice much more affordable for some folks. And it is very important if you're in a court case to know what the law is and know what your rights are.
Do you find people who go to mediation and then before signing off on something, then run it by a lawyer and say, this is what the decision we've come to, does it look like I'm protecting myself?
Yeah. So sometimes people might meet with a mediator and they reach agreements. And yes, they consult with a lawyer who reviews the agreements before they're finalized. Sometimes people go to mediation before they ever file a court case. Mm-hmm. So they have a chance to talk things through and work things out. Sometimes they go to a lawyer first and then go to mediation. If lawyers are involved in their court case, then the lawyers usually attend court-connected mediation as well.
And I just want to let people know that mediation does not have to just be one session. Mm-hmm. So don't think that if you want to explore mediation that everything has to happen in a 2 or 3 hour session. There can be multiple sessions that take place. It could be that you deal with one issue. We've had people who have come to mediation and then 6 months later have come back to talk about other issues or to address issues, some remaining issues from the first mediation session. So every situation is different and is individualistic, and we work with people with where they're at and what's best for them.
And I just wanted to add that when we hear back, we take data from, you know, the families who participate in mediation, and almost 100% are satisfied, you know, really happy with the service, and they would recommend it. And so I think I say that because people are often really fearful about going to mediation, and they do think that it has greater consequences in certain ways. So I just want to encourage people to, and the encouraging, including those health professionals or people who work in schools where they can't work directly with the parents or the extended family, to help people explore the possibilities of mediation, and that it can be done in a way that is not intrusive, and that it's something where it can really support positive decisions. So
we'll go to Susan calling from Portsmouth. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling because I've had a positive experience. Well, it was a negative because I was getting divorced, but the positive was that we went through mediation. Met a couple of times, and you know, I think it really weeded out all, like, once you get into the lawyers, it gets a little nasty, and you know, it was a positive experience, and it worked out great, and so I think it's great work that they do, and I was appreciative to have that opportunity. And also the cost factor is huge because, you know, it's basically free. So that's just my story. And so, thank you for taking my call.
Susan, let me ask you this. How did you find out about mediation?
I found out through the court where we filed in Portsmouth. You know, it was about 10 years ago, so I don't remember specifically, but I think we had asked about it and they hooked us up with a mediator. I mean, it all took place there at the courthouse in Portsmouth. So, it was, you know, it hadn't gotten divorced before, so that was a whole new experience to find out that there was resources like that. So, yeah, it was great.
Susan, thank you. And do you find that, Diane, that people had no idea this was available until they showed up?
Yes, and we have mediators at the courthouse on the days when small claims cases are called and eviction cases, and so people have the opportunity to mediate right then and there. And it's often the situation that they're not aware of mediation or they're unsure what's going to happen. So one of the first things mediators do is explain mediation and how they're going to proceed.
Brian sends an email. What are your guests' thoughts on online mediation? And I'm guessing this is an especially important question for people in rural areas in which there's a bit of a drive to a courthouse. Or Diane, go ahead.
This is a new development in our field, and I think it is expanding. It's called online dispute resolution, or ODR. And as a matter of fact, we're about to try a pilot project starting in a few months for online video mediation in some of the rural courts in the state. The purpose is to see how we could use this. Certainly, there may be some bumps in the road, but we plan to provide some video equipment at the courthouse so the parties could participate in mediation even if a mediator is elsewhere. And this will hopefully be just the beginning. We might be able to expand it to other courts. And we're going to try this in family matters cases, but we might be able to expand it to other types of cases in the future or other services that are offered by the court.
Interesting, because I'm guessing it's a lot easier to find a mediator in Portsmouth, Portland, or Brunswick than it is in Greenville.
And that's something that is on our work plan for the year, is to start a pilot program as well with online mediation, because we do provide mediation throughout the state. But I have very few people right now who are in Aroostook and Washington and Hancock counties on the roster. So we think it's really important to be able to provide service mm-hmm. to all who need, who would like to access mediation, and to do it with as low barriers as we can. So that's something we're looking at as well this year.
Rebecca on Facebook asks a question. We've partially answered this, but we'll ask it again. Who pays for the mediation? Is it expensive? Now, does this depend on whether you're going through an agency or whether you're going through the courts or whether you've hired a mediator? Personally, we've already established that Opportunity Alliance and Volunteers of America, you have a sliding scale, correct?
And we just have a one-time administrative fee.
Fee of $50. And much of what you all do in Opportunity Alliance is free. Mm-hmm. In the court system, it depends on your ability to pay.
In court cases, the parties do pay for mediation if they're able. If they're not able to pay, their fee can be waived, either part of the filing fee or the mediation fee.
And what is the mediation fee if they are able to pay?
Well, in family matters cases, it's usually $80 a person, and that means that they will get two mediation sessions, which are about often 2 or 3 hours in length. So for paying $80, parties are able to get 4 to 6 hours of mediation. In other types of cases, the fee is different. In small claims and eviction cases, the filing fee that people pay, at the plaintiff pays at the beginning to file a case, includes part of a fee for mediation. And in foreclosure cases, the lender who files the case pays for the mediation upfront at the time the case is filed as well. So the parties don't pay any of the fee. The defendant doesn't pay any of the fee.
Do you all know what the standard fees are for private mediation practices?
It varies, I think, from like $80 an hour up to $300, $400 an hour, depending upon where the individual is practicing and if they have a particular specialty in an area. So it's wide-ranging. But that's an important question to be asking mm-hmm. Mediators if you're considering this.
Right up front. Is the impression I get, though, and from the calls we've had, is that it usually is much less expensive than hiring a lawyer.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And it takes much less time.
It does take less time.
Well, yes, because from the mediation standpoint, when you're filing a lawsuit, you've got a whole process. You've got discovery. You've got documents. So a lot of time can be built up. With mediation, a lot of times you're coming to the table and having the conversation. And so there's not all of the discovery work that takes place ahead of time. And oftentimes something can get resolved within, we say on average, it's 2 to 3 hours. For a session.
So walk us through this, and maybe Karen, you want to take this. I've stuck my toe in. I've decided to sign up for mediation for perhaps a dispute with my neighbor. What can I expect once I arrive?
Oh, once you arrive. Well, first of all, you have a lot of say in how you proceed with it. So you have a choice about who participates. You can schedule day, evening, or sometimes on Saturdays. You would, once you've made decisions and agreements between the parties as far as how they want to do the mediation and who's included, then you would be, I don't think it's been mentioned, but in community mediation models, we use co-mediation. So there's always two mediators and often balanced with a level of characteristics that help the parties. So hopefully you're met with warmth and non-judgment and that you've made the decision whether to be seated together or if you're going to be in separate rooms. And usually it starts out with being able to tell your story and talk about the needs that you have. And it's a confidential process. So it is important that there's usually an introduction and a signed agreement about how you're going to participate together in mediation. And then then you're off and running.
Okay. Sonia on Facebook asks, how does someone become a mediator?
Well, the first thing I would recommend you do is to take a 40-hour training. In the state of Maine, there is no licensure, so you don't have to take a training to say that you're a mediator, but I would highly encourage that. And training is offered through Karen and I co-train. And then Diane also does a training through the University of Southern Maine. And that would be the first place to start, is to do the training and then begin to get some experience. Oftentimes people will volunteer for my program or Karen's program, or they may make an agreement with an experienced mediator to observe and to do mediations with them. So the first place I would start, though, is getting some training.
Are the trainings offered sort of year-round and in different parts of the state?
They are offered. We offer them a couple of times a year. And Karen and I are actually, we have not done one up in the Northern Maine for quite some time. And we recognize that that there is a greater need in Northern Maine for mediators. So we are exploring doing a training this year up there.
And someone has written, in the CMS training schedules 8:30 to 5 during the week, is it possible for someone to train and volunteer while working around a day job?
For us, it is, with the Opportunity Alliance, because we schedule evening mediation, Saturday mediation. So you get a chance to
do you do evening
practice.
And Saturday trainings as well?
No, not yet.
No.
That would be a good idea. It's been on the list there a long time, evening training. But I will say that there are trainings in other states.
Correct.
that would provide that kind of. And there are graduate programs as well, more and more of them, for getting, conflict resolution.
Okay, so we're out of time. Thank you so much. If you have any resources to offer, please post them on our Facebook page. Elaine Bork, thank you. Community Mediation Services Program Manager with Volunteers of America. Karen Grote, Director of Family Mediation at Opportunity Alliance. Diane Kenty, Director of the Office of Court Alternative Dispute Resolution. Nikki Shields ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Radio.